This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we raise our kids out here in the plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of Western civilization as the Western world has turned towards the neuronic agenda. They've come to the point at which they want to kill the babies, implode the birth rates, and at the same time, they want to install homosexuality as an institutionalized form of sexuality and redefine marriage as the Supreme Court of the United States did just 2 years ago. Now, it's the mass culture that is even more powerful than politics in our day today. Mass culture is incredibly powerful. I remember a friend of mine worked for MTV back in the early 1990s. And the president of MTV got a phone call from the premier of China. And the premier of China asked the president of MTV, "What are you going to do to my country?" Because the most powerful political leaders in the world know one thing, and that is that MTV is more powerful than all of the world governments. But why? Because they frame the culture, and the culture frames the politics. Politics is a derivative. So now as we think of Obergefell and the decision in which the Supreme Court of the United States reversed God's policy on marriage, which had been around for 6,000 years, it's a brave move, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yeah.
That was brave. That was courageous. That was most definitely the kings of the earth setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast their cords from us." So that's what the Supreme Court of the United States did. Now, that typically does not work out very well.
Not very.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, works out pretty badly.
Badly, yeah. "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have him in derision." As we consider how mass culture turned American public opinion in favor of homosexual marriage by 35 percentage points over a mere 10 years. And then, of course, the Supreme Court Justice of the United States put their finger on their tongue, get a little damp, and they figure out which way the wind is going, and then they establish their policies that way. Even Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were opposed to homosexual marriage, you know, in 2005. But by the time you get to 2009, they're all excited about it. Now, why does this happen? Because of mass culture. Because of Hollywood. This is why it happens. Mass culture drives politics, and the television program that prepared America for Obergefell, unlike any other television program, was Glee. The television program to Glee. And Glee was by far the most sexually perverted program for young persons on television, and it aired between 2009 and 2015, and 2015 was the year of Obergefell.
Wow. Coincidence, right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. For 6 or 7 years, you have to prepare the mass culture. And Glee is the sexually perverted program for young persons preparing the nation for this. Well, it turns out one of the Glee's stars has just committed suicide after people found out that he was sexually perverted.
Wow.
Does that make surprise to you?
Yeah, so you have a sexually perverted show.
Yeah.
And then should we be surprised when the actors are sexually perverted?
It shouldn't be a huge surprise.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a huge surprise at all. Well, this young man, Mark Salling, got caught up in sexual perversion. It turns out it was child porn. He was arrested, he was charged, and he committed suicide, sadly. But Glee was produced by a guy named Ryan Murphy, who's an open homosexual. Again, by far the most hardcore television program in which the goal was to sell sodomy to 10 to 16-year-old kids. That's the goal. And that's a big goal. That's a huge objective for homosexuals,
yeah,
of course. One Glee episode featured a bisexual high school girl who goes back and forth between boys and girls. Another major story is a homosexual high school student, Blaine, who buys a ring to propose marriage to his boyfriend, Kurt. And they also befriend a middle-aged lesbian couple portrayed by Patty Duke and the recently self-declared lesbian Meredith Baxter, a Family Ties fame, who mentor the teenage homosexual boys. Now, that's what Glee is all about. Okay, so Mark Salling is an actor in this terribly perverted program on television, and he turns out to be sexually perverted.
Wow.
You know, it reminds me of a C.S. Lewis quote, and this is my rendition of the C.S. Lewis quote. We celebrate perversion in the show, and we're shocked when the actor turns out to be perverted. C.S. Lewis wrote, in sort of a ghastly simplicity, we remove the organ and demand the function. We make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and bid the geldings to be fruitful.
Wow.
Now that's what he talks about, manhood. But this is what society does to so much of itself. You know, it corrupts itself and then it wonders why it has become so corrupt. Very, very common. Well, we're going to talk about Mark Salling briefly after this break. Mark Salling was homeschooled and Christian schools. He was raised in a committed Christian family, and we are going to draw some lessons from his life. It's so important for our children to understand that the way of destruction ends very, very, very badly. And this being an example of that for our children, some of whom may be attracted to the world. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
What a sad story. This man finds his fame and fortune in Hollywood and participates in probably the most sexually perverted television program on air between 2009 and 2015. Then he gets wrapped up in his own form of sexual sin. And then apparently he is so shamed that he commits suicide. Now, I don't know why, but again, this is a rather sad story.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And a story that we don't want repeated, and yet the Word of God does bring in the examples. Paul does this when he says, refers to Alexander the coppersmith, who did me much harm, refers to Demas, who is no longer with me. Demas, having loved the present world, went off on his own. And we find Hermogenes and others that are mentioned throughout, Simon the sorcerer. The Word of God is always giving us warnings concerning these apostates. And that's why I wrote the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroy the Christian West, because I want to be sure that we continue warning ourselves and others about these and that we're careful not to follow them, because they tend to follow each other. Apostates, those who are willing to apostatize, will often follow apostates, and we'll give you examples of that as we go. But apostasy is a worse condition. It's even worse. For kids who are raised in a Christian church or a Christian family or a Christian homeschooling family, and they walk away from it, the condition is even worse. And of course, we've touched on probably almost every example of Christian homeschool kids who imploded and did horrible things. And the end result, because they rejected the faith, they become even worse than just being an average, ordinary unbeliever. The case of the apostate is even worse, according to 2 Peter 2:20. If you listen to the words of Peter, who again is warning us concerning this thing,
If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It would have been better if they had not been raised in the Christian church. It would have been better if they had not been homeschooled in a Christian homeschool. Then it says, but it's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing the mire. Hebrews 6:4 also brings out something similar when it says, it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now, I don't believe these people were truly regenerated. However, they had some experience. They had some knowledge. They had some degree of contact with the truth through their Christian family or through their Christian church. And yet they turned away from it. And so the end result is even worse. And that's what we see with the apostates that I treat in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, which, by the way, we've just completed the second edition of it and have added large portions so that we have a better feel for how the modern age has been led by apostates and modern civilization as it breaks down. The breakdown itself is clearly attributed to these incredibly powerful Nephilim-like apostates from the 19th century. And I want to be sure that people understand the story and that you don't follow them or follow their ideas. That's the reason for the book. But again, Mark Stalling, the case was worse for him because he was homeschooled in Christian school and had a Christian past and left it for the glamour and glitz of Hollywood and then participated in the worst possible sexually perverted program on television and then took upon himself a sexual perversion that at least at this point is still frowned on by our society. It's hard to understand why they pick and choose their sexual sins. They like some, they hate others. But this particular sexual sin that he participated in still has something of a social negative to it.
Yeah, and he was deep into this. They found like 50,000 photos and 600 videos on his computer.
So he was utterly destroyed. Yeah, yes. He was utterly destroyed by it. Exactly what we read in 2 Peter 2:20, that he becomes entangled into it and overcome by it, and the latter end is worse for him than it was at the beginning. Indeed, this is what happened to Mark Stalling. He eventually had to commit suicide. It was so bad. Now, again, I guess my question is, people like Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus, will they commit suicide too? Because this is the direction that the apostate goes. Katy Perry, her parents were charismatic pastors in Santa Barbara. She said she got tired of singing Amazing Grace, moved on to singing I Kissed a Girl and encouraging young women to lesbianism. Her parents actually took her out to a Marilyn Manson concert to protest.
Wow.
I've read that in a recent testimony. She's testifying many times over the last couple of years concerning her apostasy. And she said that they were protesting Marilyn Manson, and she was handing out these brochures of how evil this satanic music is. She said she walked into the concert and rather enjoyed it.
Wow.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it, which makes sense because Marilyn Manson was raised in a nice Plymouth Brethren home and Christian schooled himself.
Yeah.
And became an apostate who was, you know, again, very, very strong in encouraging other Christian kids like Katy Perry to apostasy. See, apostates are very good at leading others into apostasy. This, my friends, is what has happened for the last 200 years, as recorded in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. So again, the question is, will Katy Perry or Miley Cyrus commit suicide? Are they going in this direction? Will the end be worse for them than it was at the beginning? Now, I don't believe that every single instance of apostasy is a Hebrews 6 case. There are exceptions to this. There are occasionally stony ground hearers or thorny ground hearers, as in Jesus' parable of the sower, in which you have young people or older people that eventually do come to true repentance. So I believe you can hold out some hope. I believe so. I believe that as long as they're still alive, Katy Perry's parents and Miley Cyrus's parents, Billy Ray Cyrus, they can hold out hope and they can pray and they can reach out to their daughters and they themselves perhaps should repent of their own sins, of their own seeking the worldly lusts and pride.
Yeah, it seems like the Hebrews says that the longer you hear it and the more that you reject, the worse it will be.
Yeah. So Hugh Hefner, also raised in a nice Methodist family, and his mother lent him the money for the publication of the first Playboy magazine. You know,
it's like $2,000.
Yeah,
probably the worst $2,000 ever spent.
Yeah,
anywhere.
Probably. Yeah. Sometimes the apostasy is retroactive. That is, it's retroactive with the fathers and mothers. So you definitely have instances like that. But also, Friedrich Nietzsche is probably the father of Katy Perry and the father of Hugh Hefner and the father of guys like Mark Salling, who is starring in this sexually perverted series. Friedrich Nietzsche was raised in a Lutheran home. His father was a Lutheran pastor. And eventually, of course, he called himself the Antichrist. Friedrich Nietzsche called himself the Antichrist in one of his very last books, and then he went mad for the last 7 years of his life. And he is the father of modern psychology. Sigmund Freud called Nietzsche having more penetrating knowledge of himself than any man who ever lived or was likely to live. Sigmund Freud was extremely impressed with Nietzsche, who went mad the last 7 years of his life, became the father of modern psychology. And the psychology departments of universities since then have followed the insanity of Friedrich Nietzsche and the insanity of modern psychology. But it was Friedrich Nietzsche who was a very, very, very influential man over 20th century philosophy and 20th century psychology. And Friedrich Nietzsche was raised in a Lutheran home, but eventually called himself the Antichrist and then went mad the last 7 years of his life. And again and again, we find that these men escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but they became entangled again and overcome by the world, and the latter end was worse for them than the beginning. Ernest Hemingway also comes to mind. Another young man who was raised in a nice Baptist home out near Wheaton College. His family was involved in Wheaton College, and he was raised on G.A. Henty books. He went off to dinosaur digs where they talked about creation instead of evolution, and, you know, he was part of that evangelical thing of the early 20th century. And there are a lot of young people in homeschools that are part of Answers in Genesis, and they go to the dinosaur digs, and they read their G.A. Henty novels, and they go the way of Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway was writing pornography by the time he was 17 years of age, and then, of course, became the great author of the 20th century, leading our entire society towards the utter deconstruction of literature, the breakdown of an entire nation. And he encouraged, one of the first authors to encourage abortion and homosexuality in his writings. And then he committed suicide on July 2nd, 1961, at 61 years of age. So again, these are stories of the great apostates who exactly follow the pattern of 2 Peter 2. If after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in the world and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. In the case of Ernest Hemingway, the apostasy was retroactive. His father wasn't on board. He appeared to be on board, but it turned out he wasn't on board of the Christian faith, did not believe in the resurrection of Christ, and his father committed suicide as well. So again, there is sometimes this retroactive apostasy that is actually happening in the lives of parents, even as the Miley Cyruses of the world and others head down the track towards some of the most horrific apostasy that we have seen. But again, my friends, Matthew chapter 13 speaks of this entangling with the world. And this is what we have to look out for our kids that are raised in Christian homes. We need to look out for this, Steve, with our own children. Are they attracted to the world? Are they being entangled into the world? In Matthew 13, it's the seed that falls on the thorns. This is the, you know, seed falls on the wayside. It falls in the stony ground. It falls in the thorny ground. And the seed that's sown in the thorn is the guys who hear the word. That young teenager is sitting in church. He's hearing the word. He's sort of receiving the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So that kind of thing can happen. The cares of this world can creep in upon us. And I think it's people like Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus who are raised in Christian homes who are drawn to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And they're drawn into the fame and fortune, the lust for money and attention, the lust for human accolades, and sometimes the lust for illegitimate sexuality, the stuff that God says, no, you can't have this. And so the lust of the heart says, no, I want that. I want that. And so people like Miley Cyrus and Katy Perry and the at least tens of millions of young people that follow them are going for that. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, we need to be more like Moses, who fled what was fleeting sin, the fleeting pleasures of sin, because he saw that the redemption of Christ was far more valuable. We can't get away from it. Sin is pleasurable. It does have some pleasure to it, but in the end leads to death.
For a season, right?
Yeah, for a season.
Pleasurable for a season, as it says there in Hebrews 11. But, yeah, it's the vanity of this sin. And I think people miss that. Bunyan called the world Vanity Fair, where the world is selling. You know, the world is selling it. You see it in the magazines. You see it on the movies. The world is selling stuff. Even HDTV is selling material wealth and material improvement for your life here on earth, because this is all you have. Your best life is here, and your best life is now. So the world is selling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And they're just telling us to come and buy it, come and buy it, come and buy it. And I guess we need to ask ourselves, are we giving into it? Are our children thinking that there's value in the vanity, the glitz and the glamour? I think watch their eyes. Are their eyes moving towards it? You go out to eat. There's televisions all around. Have you ever been in these restaurants?
Yeah, we try to avoid that anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, televisions all around. What are we looking at? What are we drawn to? What are the things that are attracting us? We need to ask that of ourselves and our children. As our children head out into the world from their home schools, are they seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or are they seeking fame and fortune? Are they seeking to be big? Are they seeking La La Land? Right? The movie La La Land. What is the movie La La Land all about? Fame and fortune trumps relationships. Fame and fortune is everything. Making a name for myself. Reaching for the stars. Is this the kind of thing that they respond to in the graduation speeches? Are they seeking the fame and fortune? Seeking to feed their pride, position, lust? Are they wanting to make money? Are they wanting to compete academically with others and show themselves to be bigger and better and smarter than others? These are the questions, I think, to ask. Or are they seeking to follow the carpenter from Galilee? Are they seeking to follow the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do they see the vanity in Hollywood and Katy Perry? Do they actually see through it? I think as a young man, I would say I was having a hard time seeing through it. I didn't see, you know, that these are skeletons that are covered in makeup. You know, you're putting lipstick on skeletons here. And I didn't always see through it. I didn't always see through the vanity in Hollywood. And do our kids see the vanity in the star system that's infected some of the contemporary Christian music scene? In other words, there is something of the world of lust and pride that creeps into these big concerts. Have you ever been to these big concerts and asked yourself, is there some pride here? Is there some human accolades here? Are we really giving God all the glory? Are you with me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think we need to ask those questions, because this is precisely what the apostasy looks like, friends. Are kids seeking God? Are they seeking the living God? Think of Psalm 63. Oh, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Is that what our children are saying? Or are they seeking some kind of fleeting pleasure in Hollywood? Are they loving God and hating the world? Let me end with two verses. James 4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow, those are fighting words.
Yes, they are.
Those are intense.
That's scary.
Yeah. Are you going to be a friend of the world? Well, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And it's not a good thing to be an enemy of the true and living God, the one who sits in judgment on final judgment day and has the right to say, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire with the devil and his angels. Galatians 6 and verse 14, I love this. In terms of the relationship we have with the world, I love this. This is so beautiful. Listen to what it says. Be it far from me to boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That is, the world doesn't mean anything to me anymore because I'm crucified to the world. My own flesh has been nailed to that cross right next to Jesus Christ. The old man is dying and dead, and now I'm living to Christ. And so the world doesn't really have that much influence on me. The world can't really impact me. It cannot manipulate me, because I am crucified with Christ, and the world has been crucified to me. Praise God. Well, may that be our relationship with Christ and our relationship with the world of lust and pride. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I'd encourage you to our new release of the latest edition of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It's an expanded edition. It's revised. We cleaned up the footnotes big time and added quite a bit of material to a number of chapters. We've included a brand new chapter on John Maynard Keynes. We believe that's crucial, especially in the collapse of the stock market and the breakdown of entire economies in the Western world. You're going to have to know how it happened, the worldview behind the Keynesian philosophies that drove the world debt-to-GDP ratios, tripled it in just the last 15 years. If you want to know what has destroyed or what is destroying the entire Western world, I'd encourage you to read the philosophies behind it in this book, The Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back next time for more.